Right.
Is that your married name or your maiden name?
No, I was awful.
Awful?
Right.
Who was your mother and dad?
Guy Awful was my dad. Polly Casmore was my mother.
Polly?
Polly Casmore.
Casmore. And where were you raised?
Brush you run. One go.
Right close to where your home was when the flood came?
Yes, sir.
How many kids was there coming up in your family?
There were 14. There were 12 living.
Tell me all their names. I'm always interested in big families. Can you remember them?
Well, the oldest boy's dead. His name is Granville, Eva, Richard, Harvey, Calvin, Stanley, of course me, Margaret and Marvin, Reva, Susie, Mary Lee, and Golden. I don't know if I left any or not. How many was that?
I didn't count.
How was he counting? Was,
is Margaret and Marvin
I
twins?
Got 12, yes.
They were the only twins in the whole bunch?
Yes.
And your dad must have had a farm, didn't
he? Yes, he had a farm and he ran a store. There used to be a store right where the house washed away. And they lived in the store building. And they had the post office, which was called Brood at that time. But they took the post office to One Go in later years.
Was your dad the postmaster then?
Yes.
What was it like living in such a big family?
Well, I can't see that they worse than living in a small one. we had respect for our parents, and families today, it's completely lost. Our dad was very strict. I remember when we used to go to the table to eat, we had a bench behind that held six of us, and he was very strict when we ate. He didn't allow any talking. You ate your meal and you left the table. He was very strict. But I can't say that about the families today. I really can't.
Was your, how long had your dad's family lived in Pendleton County?
Well, he was born in 1889. And he died last year, 3rd of March, 1985. My mother died January, 4.5 weeks before him.
Were they ill at the time of their death?
Well, mother was in an old home over in Virginia, Bridgewater, Virginia, and my dad, he was back at the home place. But they moved to Virginia in 1946 and moved on a farm, and it was from the farm that my mother went in this home. She got real bad mentally, and they sold the farm to put her in this home. And my dad came back here because he had this back here and a place to come to. And he had 30 acres up on the mountain where he had sheep. And he was pretty well satisfied when he first came back. And then he got to complain with his legs. He couldn't walk, couldn't get up on the mountain. And it went from his legs, I don't know, just seemed like all through his body. His heart gave away. He had so much fluid, and finally it got him. I say he was 10 years in that state. I went to stay with him in June of 84. That's how come I got in the flood. But he left.
Have
his home place. He left the house for me after he left. And the mountain place, too. My sister and I owned the mountain place, the one at Elkins.
What happened to all the other 12 children?
They're scattered around. I have a brother in North Carolina and sister in Arizona. And the most of them are in Virginia, all but my sister in Elkins.
Did you go to school
up
on Brushy Run then?
I went to the two-room schoolhouse in Brushy Run. That the flood took half of it. And then I went to Circleville. Went through high school and that's as far as I went.
Did you marry after that?
Yes, I did.
Did you raise a family?
Yes, we had four children. No, we lived up here in the upper end of Timber Ridge, Wall in Maryland 15 years.
And then you came back from Cape
Cod? After I came back from Maryland to our farm we had left, and we raised beef cattle, and my husband was still working in Maryland, and he had a heart attack and had to come home, and when he come home, things changed.
Things changed?
Yes, it did. He had got into this drinking and he had other women friends right in my presence and things, and it just didn't work. I took it just as long as I could take it. And I worked hard on the farm. I fed 100 head of cattle for 6 years by myself, thinking he'd straighten up. But he didn't straighten up. And he got mean to me. He beat me, and I said if my life couldn't be any better, I didn't want to live, so I left. My children all wanted me to leave. Because none of them would come to see us because they knew the situation at home. There hadn't been a one of them to see us for 2 years before I left. And I mean, I've for the last couple of years, I've had it rough. And I went to my daughter's and stayed in Preston County until I came to my dad's in 84 to take care of him. He had nobody to take care of him. Nobody else was interested in him. They could care less about him. My sister and Elkins and I were the only two that thought anything of him. And I was going to go to work after I went to my daughter's, and I got straightened up from getting away from my husband. And then my sister in Elkins, she told me that we'd have to do something because the other children wasn't interested. And we did talk to them once, and they said, well, put him in a home. We didn't want it done because he didn't want it done. And I told Eva, my sister, I said, well, I'll just go over and stay with him. So I went there and, well, I was back and forth from January until June when I finally seen he couldn't make it no longer without somebody. And I stayed with him until he passed away, March of 85. And I was there when the flood came along. Because he left his estate to my sister and I. Because we were the only ones who showed any interest.
November 4th pretty clearly then, I guess.
Yes, I do.
It must have been, was it raining
here? It was raining, a dark, dreary day, which it had been raining 3 or 4 days or maybe a week, maybe as much as a week. I know it had rained a long time. And I had a friend lived right above me in a trailer, Helen Wooddale. And we chummed around a lot together. And on Monday morning, November the 4th, she came to me and she wanted me to go with her up to her uncle's to see if we get him to go to my uncle's. She says he's not well and she's afraid he'll get up and go out and get in the water, which the water had come up pretty high then. But we didn't succeed in getting him out. He wouldn't go. That was about 11 o'clock in the morning. We came back down to her house and we kept watching the water, and it would come up and then it would go down, up and down. All afternoon, we decided about 2 o'clock we'd go back up and see if we'd make another attempt to try to get him persuaded. Arsa Hedrick and his sister lived in this house, and they were Helen Wooddale's aunt and uncle. And we went back up, and when we got up right below Arsa's house, the stream from off the hill had come up and got so high we couldn't get back up to their house. And we was afraid to cross, so we came back down. We didn't try to go across, but because we were both afraid. And we started to turn around to come back down to our houses, and the bridge right straight across from where this water came out of the hill and crossed the road into the river, we seen it go right there. So we came back down. It was just pouring the rain down. We were all wet. And we decided to go in her trailer, and we went in her trailer and made a cup of coffee, and we drank the coffee, and we kept an eye on the water because we could see it right out from her window in her living room. And we was there until about, I'd say, 3:30, and I said, I wonder if the mail will come. And it was so dark, you couldn't hardly see anywhere, just real dark. And and she says, it's doubtful. And Priscilla had called me that morning, told me to come over here. Well, Helen said she wasn't going to leave her trailer. That was my friend. And I told her, yes, she had to leave it if it come up, you know, started to come up to take it. And about 3:30 in the afternoon, the water broke over and come through under her trailer. And I said to her, I said, there's nothing we can do. I said, I have to go back down to the house and see what's going on. But it wasn't real deep then. It was just coming at a slow pace. And I went down to my house, and I left her up there by herself, but I didn't stay long. And the reason I didn't stay long, right behind my house, it broke over and started coming into my yard next to the well. And then by that time, the water that broke over above her trailer was coming down by my hen house and on the other side of my house, but not bad. It wasn't anything to be alarmed about at that time. But you didn't feel safe. You just had an uneasy feeling about you. And my dad had a collie dog, and I kept him tied because people have sheep, and I thought maybe he might bother them. And all morning long, that dog whined, and he kept looking up the creek. He wouldn't go in his nest, and he wouldn't eat or anything. So I went back up, or I expect it's 4 o'clock. When I said to him, I said, "You, let's get out of here." And I said, the water's coming up too high. It's going to take both of our houses. And at that time, the floor under her trailer was quivering, and she didn't want to go. And I said, yes, you are, you come on. And she got a few things, and she had a little dog, and she put the dog in the car, and she had a suitcase with just a few clothes in, and she took that and put it in the car, and she went down to my house with me. And we moved our cars. I did move my truck only out on the bank next to the mailbox, but the water came right down through there later. And her little dog was carrying on, and she went back up to her car. And I went in my house. Of course, her car was out in the road, out of danger. And I went in my house, and when I went in, I looked out the upper window. And when I looked out, I could see nothing but a big gush of water coming right out the house. About 4:30 this was, in the evening. And I had my coat, raincoat on, and another coat under it, my boots and everything. And I grabbed two suitcases that I had laying in my bedroom. And I went out, and when I got out, it was on the second step of my steps to go down. So, and already coming in back of the house, and I had banister there, and I had loosened the old dog when I first came down from her house, from his nest. And he come up on the porch with me. And I tried to get him to go across the banister with me, and he wouldn't go. So I went with my two suitcases. And I went out and opened my truck door and threw my suitcases in the front seat. And when I did that, the water came right up at me and just gushed right in the front of my truck, but not bad. And it didn't get my suitcases wet or anything, mostly on the driver's side. And I got in, I knew my truck would start because there'd never been any water in the motor, and it started, and I got it out of the way and took it up the road where my friend's car was. And I came back down to my house in the road walking, and I saw my cousin come up the road, and he had on this yellow plastic suit, and I said to him, "Do you think there'd be any danger if you'd go over to the porch and get the dog?" I said, "I don't want him to drown." And he said, "Yes, I'll go get him." So he waded about waist high and went over and got the dog. And the old dog come right to me, and I took a rope and tied him up to my tailgate on the truck. Well, we didn't know what any of us was going to do. And I said to Helen, "Let's go out here in the woods to this little barn." It was Willard Hedrick's. I said, "At least it's got a roof over our head and we won't get so wet." We went out there, and we was out there maybe 15 minutes, and our friends in below us came to us. It was Macy Hedrick. She married Harper. Married Hedrick. She was Harper before she was married. And Willard and my cousin Paul and a friend of his and his two boys came to us in this little barn. And they said Macy was sick, and she was taking shots for sugar, and they'd have to try to get her to my uncle's, which was about a quarter of a mile up the road. And so they all said they would go try to help get her across the stream of water below Arsus Hedrick's house, where we couldn't get over in the afternoon. So they all gathered up and left, and they said to us, "Do you want to go along?" We said, "No, we don't want to leave." We said, "We want to see what's going on." And they all left us, and they went up to Arthur Hedrick's stream, and they carried this lady across and got her up to my uncle's. And Helen Wooddale and myself, we stayed in that building all night with our dogs. We went back and got her little dog out of the car, and I had my old big collie, and we were in this little barn, and there was a division in the back with some hay, and we put the dogs in there, and we stayed out front. And as night come on, it got dark, and it lightning, but I don't think there were any thunder. And I judge it was about 8 o'clock, and we kept going out. We had a big light that we could throw clear across the river. And the water came down the road. I'd say it was 10 feet deep, and we were no more than 15 feet from it. But we figured we'd have to hit the hillsides sooner or later. We kept an eye on it. And there was another barn on up the hill we were going to. But hopefully we stayed there and watched what all happened. And every little bit we went outside. We never slept any. And it was around, I'd say, 10:15 or 10:30. And we heard this awful noise. And no one will ever know how it sounded. You have to hear it for your own self to know. And it was the water broke over up at my uncle's and brought, it had took part of the schoolhouse, and what it didn't take, it just caved the roof right down in and just flattened it. And the water came on down then toward R.C. Hedrick's house and took his house. And this portion of his house, all but the kitchen, came down, got behind Helen's trailer, brought her trailer down. Her trailer hit my house. And when it hit my house, of course, it just flew out in the water. And the water was, I'd say, 10 or 12 feet. And there was so many pieces, they were going just everywhere. And her trailer, those beams, I guess, held together pretty good. When it passed us, it was all together, but there was a couple sides looked like, you know, it had split, like. And it followed the road. It came down the road, and it followed the road and went to the left towards Bud Hedrick's house. And it hit Bud Hedrick's house. When it hit Bud Hedrick's house, that was the last we seen of the trailer or his house. His house just flew up in the air like a bunch of toothpicks. And that's the last we seen of the house. This was going on around 10:30 in the night, and it was about 10:45 when we went back in, but we stayed out there and watched. And I don't know if the electric was still on the lines or not, but we looked over at my house and the transformer, the electric was jumping off the transformer the length of my arm. And the lightning was running across that creek, the whole width of the creek, and to the hillside. And when we first heard this big noise, I said to my girlfriend, I said, "It's the end of time, Helen. We didn't know what was coming." And I said, "We better go back here in the hay and pray." And we did. And we were saved from that flood that night. And the next morning, we hadn't slept. And about 2 o'clock, I looked out, and I seen the water had went down in the road some. And I said to her, "I think it's the worst is over." And I said, "By morning, we can get out of here and go see what's happened on up." So I judge it's about 5:30. We could see, but not too good. We got out, went out, and crawled through the fence. There was a fence down below this little barn. And the water was still in the road, pretty deep. But we managed to wade it. And went up by our truck and car, and there was 2 other guys had their cars parked there too. They had brought them up there early, and we had them all parked there. And it washed debris through under all of them. We had pulled out from under them, and Helen's car was the last car in the row, and it there was some water in it. And we went on up the road, and we just walked at a slow pace till we got up to where our uncle's house was, and the road was gone right below where his house was. Washed out as far, we couldn't see no road, and his house was gone. And she said to me, she says, "Helen, they've washed away." And I said, "Yes, you're right." I said, "They're gone." And I said, "The only thing we can do is to take the hillside right by his kitchen that was left." And I said, "We'll go to my uncle's house." So we took the hillside and we walked, I'd say about a mile up against the hill and crossed over in the hollow. And this hollow was the same stream that we couldn't get across at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, November the 4th. But we got across on rocks and we started around the hillside and we saw so many slides. Come down off the hill. And I said to her, I said, "We better not go in below." I said, "They're liable to come on down and we'll get trapped in them." So we walked in above And I judged till we got to the down to my uncle's house. It was a good mile. And all the way, the ground just felt like walking on a sponge. Just like you was just going down in so far. And you didn't know whether you was safe to even walk on the earth. And we got to Michael's house. They was all glad to see us. And we told them that we didn't think Arsenev was that anywhere around. We thought they'd washed away. And some of my cousin's two boys, they went down the stream then that day. And we stayed around the house and drank coffee a little while. We struck back out and went back down because we just couldn't be at rest anywhere. We just wanted to keep on the go. Every day we get up, I stayed with my uncle 3 nights. My girlfriend's still with him. And I stayed there 3 nights and well, along the creek bed 3 days. And we'd go down there every morning about 8:30 and see what all happened. And we'd see it every day, same thing over and over. The water kept going down. And one day we decided to go to our friend's house, Britton Raines, who lived about a quarter of a mile from both of us. We went over and talked with them a while. And then we went back up the creek. And on the third day, we went down the creek. And we were standing at my truck eating a cheese sandwich. And I looked down the river. And we were pinned in there. We couldn't get out, no way, only to walk out. Robes all tore up, all the way clear to 33. I looked down the creek bed and I saw this guy walking. And I said to my girlfriend, I said, that's my son-in-law. And it was. I knew his coat. And when he came up to me, I said, boy, I'm never so glad to see you. I said, I want out of here. And he said, well, he said, I had to come see about you. Said, we tried every way to find out if you was still over here or what happened. And he said, we couldn't find out anything. He said, my daughter was really uneasy about me. And he says, I'm going to take you out of here this afternoon. And he couldn't get no further than above one go about a mile off his car, and he walked all the way down here below one go to Timbridge Mountain and up here and across. And I said, Don, I said, I can't walk out of here with these shoes. My shoes were off of my feet. We'd done so much walking. And he said, boy, I'll go get both of his shoes. So we was hanging around there waiting for him to come back and keeping our mind on what had happened and talking. And it wasn't long till I looked down the creek again, and there come my oldest son. He had come all the way from Maryland. And the National Guard had stopped him and didn't want him to come through. And he told them that he had a mother up here and she was in the flood and he was going through. And he came to me and he'd been up at the post office at one go and got my mail and he was carrying it. And he stayed with us till my son-in-law came back and we got our shoes on and we was ready then. Helen, I hate to leave her. But I wanted out. I'd seen enough. And while it was while we one day while we went down to the truck is when they somebody I think it was some friends of ours had walked out to get medicine or something had told me about Catherine and John, Priscilla's sister. And that was hard for me to take.
You were real close to her.
Yes, I was. But anyway, I walked over here to Priscilla's that evening and went home with my son-in-law.
tell me more about the awful sound that you heard that night?
Oh, I can't explain it. It was like a thunder, or I thought the mountain might be caving in. I thought I had every kind of thought you'd think of. I just can't explain the sound. It was like rocks rolling down off the hill and they was hitting into each other.
Because everywhere after the flood, you could see where these rocks had rolled out and piled up for miles and miles.
Yes. Well, some of those rocks back there at my house now, they weren't there. A lot of those rocks were brought downstream. Of course, I know some of them washed out of the earth, but I know some of them didn't.
I think it's almost 16 weeks, isn't it?
Seems like longer than that.
What's life been like for you since?
Well, I was in a state after the flood where I didn't sleep for about three.